Which is more, $10,000 or $5? Maybe that seems like a foolish question with an obvious answer. But according to Jesus, the answer is actually not so obvious. Jesus says that the answer to the question depends on who gave the money and how much it cost them. If the $5 was everything the giver had, and the $10,000 was given by someone who will never even miss it, then the $5 is more. Listen, this is Mark chapter 13, verses 41 through 44. Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Is God positively impressed by large sums of money, fine clothing, by places of honor at great banquets, or by people whose study of Scripture make them think that they are entitled to the best seats in church? You can probably guess the answer to that question is no. But the question has to be asked because we, if the truth be told, very often are enchanted and impressed by money, clothing, position, and credentials. Does God care about the same things we care about? Jesus is pretty clear on this one. What God cares about is business practices and legal systems that promote justice. God is not fooled by the appearance of religious devotion. Long prayers don't cover for greed. What God wants to see is concern for those without position, power, or resources. When Jesus taught, he said, this is Mark 13, 38 through 40, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplace and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." It seems that we have no secrets from Jesus. Jesus knows what we're up to, not only when we're in church, but all the time. He is aware of our motivations. He sees when our behavior has consequences for other people. And he can tell what our actions and our decisions cost us. He is inviting us to learn to see the world as God sees it. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." What can we do to make the world a more healthy and honest place, where everyone has what they need, the poor are not oppressed, and no one gets rewarded for pretentious, self-serving behavior? Now that is a question that Jesus wants us to struggle with, a question meant to provoke us and challenge us, a question that ultimately could transform us. by noticing the poor widow and calling attention to her struggles, Jesus is showing us that what is insignificant in the world's eyes matters a great deal to God. Jesus is asking us to care about the people and the details that typically get overlooked. National Geographic photographer DeWitt Jones, through his practice of celebrating the world and the people in it, once had the opportunity to meet an elderly woman who had no wealth and no importance according to the world standards. This woman lived in a very isolated part of the world, someplace called the Outer Hebrides. She lived in a simple home that was heated by burning peat from the surrounding bogs. Her life's work was weaving, which she did by hand on an old loom in a barn. She spun the yarn and made the dyes herself, and she worked alone for hours at a stretch. If the measure of wealth is bags of money, huge houses, big cars, and fancy clothes, this woman had nothing with which to impress anyone. But if riches can be measured in peaceful surroundings, generous hospitality, tranquility of spirit, ability to care for others, and contented immersion in satisfying work, this woman is connected to the source. She has found her gifts and exercises them freely for the benefit of friends, family, and strangers alike. DeWitt Jones sought her out and discovered a hidden source of wisdom. He photographed her and talked with her, and in this process was encouraged to become more fully himself, to give his gifts more freely to the world. The two widows, the one in the Bible and the one that DeWitt Jones introduced us to, illustrate why, in our church today, there is no set formula or fee for what each person should give to Christ's ministry through our church. People have different abilities, different circumstances, different resources available to them. Trying to establish a set dollar amount for what everyone should give would run the risk of devaluing what some people have to offer and failing to challenge others to be and give their best for the world. Giving is meant to be a joy, not a burden, and it's certainly not a way of bragging, boasting, or showing off. Each person's giving is between them and God, and God knows the meaning and the value of each gift, whether or not anyone else ever discovers it. Even though there is no standard rule, we can all benefit from discussion and deliberation about our giving. DeWitt Jones says there is more than one right answer. Unless we share some of those answers with each other, we will never become aware of all the possibilities that are available to us. Hearing about the experiences of other givers can be informative and inspiring. Studying the patterns of giving that are presented in the scriptures and listening to the testimony of others can keep us open to God's guidance and offer us new ways of deepening our faith. One such testimony comes from a man named David McFadden. He shared some of his experiences in giving with a magazine called Sojourners. Years ago, when David and his wife were first married and newly discovering their Christian faith, they took Jesus' instruction to the rich young man at face value and applied it to themselves. You may recall that the rich young man came to Jesus saying that he followed all the laws and the prophets, and he wanted to know what else he could do to be assured of inheriting God's kingdom. Jesus said to this man, "Sell everything you have, give the money to the poor, come and follow me." At this point, the rich man declined. David and Liz decided to carry out this advice. They sold all their worldly goods, and as David puts it, "We went on the road doing Bible shows for churches, schools, and prisons. We traveled for 2 years, never asking for fees, just traveling on the grace of God." They lived in their van. Sometimes churches gave them money, sometimes food, sometimes nothing. We lived day by day, McFadden remembers. Ultimately, his gifts as a writer and a director and his desire to provide for a family led to a much more settled life and a steady and substantial income. Now, looking back from the pinnacle of an extremely successful career as a television writer and producer, McFadden feels that those 2 years without possessions or house were the time in his life when he most understood, felt, and experienced God's presence. The time when he most understood, felt, and experienced God's interaction and God's protection. He believes this is because he and his wife had risked everything for the sake of the kingdom. Risk is a real component of the Christian life, he says. We experience God as we properly risk ourselves. Though it has, at times, been adopted by very devoted followers of Jesus with amazing and moving results, I myself have never pursued the sell everything you have and give the money to the poor approach to giving. I have followed a different biblical mandate, which comes from the Jewish traditions of the Old Testament, which was the context for Jesus' life and ministry. A mandate that suggests that giving 10% of one's income or 10% of the product of one's industry is a fundamental way to honor God and to keep worship of God as the primary focus in life. This approach recommends that additional expressions of gratitude for God's goodness and God's graciousness be made through giving beyond the basic 10%. As a person who really likes structure and routine, the habit of tithing works very well for me, and it gives me a way to express my trust and my faith in God. I do have a concern about this habit, however, this discipline which I have been following for something like 25 years, and that is that it may lull me into thinking that I'm doing enough for God or for the world, when really I should be doing more. The type of giving that I aspire to is giving that holds nothing back from God, but instead asks God each moment, what should I be doing with this resource, or this time, or this talent, or this money? I realize that the answer may not always be entirely clear, but my hope is that the question itself will keep faith at the forefront of every decision. Agnes de Mille said, living is a form of not being sure, not knowing what's next or how. The artist never entirely knows, she said. We guess, we may be wrong, but we take leap after leap into the dark. If giving can be seen as an art, then it seems to me we are called to use the materials at hand, the material of our lives, to create something new or startling or beautiful that can bring honor and glory to God and advance God's purposes in the world. In line with what David McFadden said, giving or giving something up may be a risk, but taking risks for God's sake is part of what makes our lives truly Christian. Many times we have to improvise as we go along, but the idea is that with practice, our instincts for the multitude of right answers get fine-tuned. An image of giving that has lodged itself in my heart this week comes from the true life experience of Lillian Daniel. When Lillian was a toddler, her father went to the war zone in Vietnam. After months of absence, which of course were stressful and anxiety-producing for everyone concerned, he returned home. He returned with a special gift for Lillian's mother. It was a lovely cream-colored vase with a blue design, which he had picked out and brought home from this distant land because he just knew it was going to delight her. He bundled it up in string and brown paper and transported it carefully on and off several airplanes and buses before walking up the driveway with this special present in his hands. As he approached the house, little Lillian tumbled out the front door with her arms outstretched, running full tilt toward her long-absent father. The father was surprised and delighted. He'd been worried about whether his little daughter would even remember him or recognize him. Fending her off even for a moment in order to set down the vase was not an option. He did the only thing that seemed possible to him. He opened his arms to receive his little girl. The vase slipped to the ground and broke while he held Lillian to his heart. That night, Lillian's radiant mother sat at the kitchen table and glued the vase back together. She announced that it would always be precious to her. Forever after, she gave it the place of honor among her many other unblemished pieces of china, even though the glue had bubbled and turned yellow over the years, and the chips and cracks were plainly visible. This is the true spirit of giving, that a man would go to great trouble to bring a gift to his true love, but would understand that relationships matter so much more than any object. That a child would know without question that her father loves her and feel utterly safe and trusting as she throws herself into his arms. That a woman would treasure a shattered gift because it represents the return of her beloved from great danger, and it represents his commitment not only to her but to their children. The image of a mother proudly displaying her broken vase speaks to me vividly of a God who values our gifts, even if they don't look like much to anyone else. May we never be afraid that God does not know the value of what we have to offer. Our baptismal vow says it well. May we put our whole trust in God's grace. We pray together. Holy God, as we lay estimate of giving cards on the altar today, we are mindful that all good gifts come originally from you. We want to be good stewards of the life you shower upon us. And so we ask that you teach us the right use of all of our time, talent, and treasure. We ask that you would lead us to work and earn and save and give in ways that both support your purposes and demonstrate our love for you. Cause us to seek justice and love kindness and walk humbly before you. You are our shepherd. Because of you, we have what we need. May all of our actions and our decisions spring from that amazing and wonderful truth. Today, Lord, we remember all those who have prompted us to think about the meaning of giving and the way we spend our lives. In particular, we remember the veterans of many wars. And we pray that your peace would come soon upon all the earth. We pray that our faith will lead us to compassion and right living, and that your church could be a sign of hope in a hurting world. Together, we lift our voices in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.